Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 30 of This is the Pits, featuring Chelsea Greenwood and Michael Oberst. Today's a very special day because we have a guest, unlike all the rest.
Yeah, a truly special guest, Tony Soto, Silver Lake icon, host of The Tony Soto Show, host of Gay Power Half Hour. Thank you for coming on, Tony Soto.
All those are my credits. Hi. Thank you for having me on this show. I'm very excited.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's going to be like this the whole time.
Oh, having a three-way, an awkward three-way. I love three-way.
Nothing like it, huh?
Can you believe we're doing episode 30? Well, actually, Tony, what episode are you on for the Tony Soto Show?
We just celebrated our fifth year.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, and we are up to 143 episodes on the Gay Power Half Hour.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been producing, the Tony Soto Show's been a weekly show forever, so I've been doing that show forever, and then started the Gay Power Half Hour when I moved to LA, so two weekly shows, so.
It's a lot of podcasting.
That's a lot of podcasting.
We have one weekly show, and we can barely do it.
It's so much work, man, but I love it.
It's a shit ton of work, but I'll tell you, I bought the equipment years ago. So when you have the equipment, I mean, I started on a Yeti.
Right.
I got this
Yeti right here.
Yeah, and it was me and Lucy Wack and Shea Coulee surrounding a Yeti.
Oh, my God.
Talking into it, and that was how we started the Tony Soto Show. So
great. To all of our five listeners, please – go look out for the Tony Soto Show.
That's shady. We have more than five listeners.
I'm just kidding. We have hundreds.
It's unbelievable. You do not realize how many you have. I mean, you're 30 in at this point, but like people from – I got an email from Budapest or something, and I was just like – I'm like, well, thank you for listening.
Yeah. We got a few people in Australia. That's
true. Yeah.
So you never know, and it's continuously growing. Plus, this idea is super cute. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
What's really funny to me is how we have a mix of people who just like movie podcasts and comedy podcasts in general, and so there's like that crowd, which I think is our strongest crowd.
Yeah.
And then there's also like this small subsection of Brad Pitt fans.
Yeah.
Who don't always agree with what
they
we say.
We get yelled at a lot by the true Pitt fans.
Dude, let's not forget, Standing started a long time ago, and I bet you deal with, like, people of all ages, like women in their, like, 60s that are pissed.
Yeah.
They're the ones who really have something to say. Some of our Instagram comments are, like, full-blown paragraphs about how we are incorrect in our assessment of Brad Pitt.
Right.
Well, get it together, guys.
I guess so. So today we're talking about – I can't believe we're on episode 30. We're talking about Burn After Reading, which I have been – this is one of, like – the five movies that I've been so excited to talk about since the beginning. It's such a good movie.
Can I just ask one thing? Like, how many movies does Brad Pitt have?
80. After this year, it will be 80.
Oh, all right. Well, buckle in.
He's coming out with two more.
Oh, shit. You're going to be working forever, guys.
I know. And, you know, I have to say it's really fun, Tony, because what's happened is Brad Pitt has gone through so many cycles in my brain. Like, sometimes I am madly in love with him, and sometimes I just only want to fuck him. And sometimes I'm like, he is my best friend, and I'm really proud of him for the role that he's chosen. And this week, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit annoyed by him, if you'll believe it.
Controversial. I'm going to say that this week I was also annoyed by him.
Really?
I'm not a huge Brad Pitt fan. Like, I know him, you know what I mean? Like,
same with us.
I remember Thelma and Louise. I remember that dance on the bed. Like, that was just like, oh, hi, sir. How are you?
So, Tony, when you think of Brad Pitt, you think of Thelma and Louise as his, like, his big role, right? Is that what you think of?
Well, that's where I think of when I remember learning of him.
Right.
And that was our episode one, because we thought that that was when he really made an appearance on the scene. So,
I mean, if you are a heterosexual identified woman and a gay ass dude, that's probably one of the first things you remember of Brad Pitt.
Yep.
He was fucking sexy on that, you know?
Yes. Yes,
but You would literally have to give me a list of the movies that he was in for me to even be like, oh, yeah, that one was good. Oh, okay, right. That was good. Yeah, because like, I remember him in Seven because he did the weird eye, and that was big news because he was playing ugly.
Right.
And then I thought it was...
Right? Am I wrong about that? Like, I remember like it was like, ew, Brad Pitt made his eye look all crooked. He's so, like, why would
no,
he...
No, you're thinking of 12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys, not
yeah.
Seven.
Yeah, very close by to each other. Same director. What?
Oh, is Seven a movie? Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah,
completely off.
Well, 12... Seven is another one of his super popular ones that yeah. everyone thinks of Seven, Fight Club, Thelma and Louise.
Fight Club, yeah, yeah.
I think more recently Inglourious Basterds because mm-hmm. that was a really like character heavy role, but I don't think it's one of his best. Like this is, I also think Burn After Reading is one of his bigger roles that people think of because it was such a funny role.
People tend to say that this is where Brad Pitt should stick to acting. Like he should never do serious roles and he should always be the Burn yep. After Reading guy. But Tony, yep, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What is your general overall feeling about this movie? Did you like it?
I did like this movie. Okay. I did. I like this movie because I hated everyone on this movie.
Okay, great. That's yeah. a great reason. Michael, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think it's a collection of idiots, and I love that. I love yeah. watching idiots be stupid.
I read something that called it a tour de farce. Which
I like. The Coen brothers themselves call it this movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and The Intolerable Cruelty. They call those three movies the idiot trilogy.
Yeah. Okay, great. Go on.
Go ahead, John.
No, that's it. I just love that.
Yeah, it's great.
So let me set the stage for where this movie came out. It's 2008.
Oh, wow. It's 2008. It's a new year.
It's a new year. Big year for Brad because his twins, Knox and Vivian, were born that year, July. Oh. He's now a father of fucking 5 kids.
Yeah, so, I mean, doing great in his career life, but making really bad family decisions here.
Exactly right.
Consistently, he's very good at making very bad decisions consistently.
Well, you guys, it's so mean. Vivian and Knox are living creatures. And
they are.
We're happy that they're here. I did a deep dive into them, into facts about them, which we don't need to go into today, but they have really blossoming into some beautiful children, and I love them.
Of course they are.
As
have
if
you seen
they're
their
my
parents?
Own. Yeah, I have seen their parents.
I mean, I think their parents were a little broken. Like, I feel like the Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt fucking facade was broken, and maybe for a long time. So they made good kids, and they adopted a lot of other ones.
Yeah.
But and they're pretty, so that helped.
They're pretty. I mean, at least they're pretty, if nothing else.
But I feel like they had, like, knockdown drag-out fights. Like, I picture, like, Angelina chucking shit across the room.
I was just going to say, a lot of broken plates in my brain. I think I can imagine Angelina just, to make a point, grabbing one plate at a time and just breaking them and, like, looking him right in the eyes while she breaks plates. That's what I picture
her
doing.
She says, challenge me, asshole.
Her plates, not his. Her plates. Because she's
her own.
She'll break her own shit.
She's that kind of crazy.
So. Yeah. The poor 5 children. I think ultimately they had 7 kids, right? I guess it remains to be seen.
Those rich, don't feel bad for those kids. They can pay for therapy. Here, I feel bad still for Jennifer. That's who I still feel bad for.
You've come to the right place.
You've come to the right place because we love Jennifer more than anything.
She got dealt a bad hand. Like, how could you be so beautiful and have that shitty of luck when it comes to...
Well, I have to say, Jennifer has had consistently shitty luck with men, even up until now. Like, she just got divorced from Justin Theroux. I think maybe she's a little bit crazier.
She's batshit, for sure.
Yeah.
It's cool for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
But it's only when it comes to men. I bet she is sweet as pie.
I've heard she is.
Yeah, I'm sure she is America's sweetheart in real life, but you fall in love with her or she falls in love with you, her goal is to destroy you.
I don't know if her goal is to destroy you, but I think that she gets maniacal and I think she really fucks with your head.
No, I don't think her goal is to destroy you. I think her goal is to own you.
Yeah.
She seems very like she needs to her relationship to define her, you know?
She for sure pegs every one of her men.
which is why Brad Pitt says he's a little bit gay. And I think it's because
that's a requirement to be with Brad Pitt. You have to be gay with being pegged.
That's almost true. Okay, so wait, what else is happening in 2008, Chelsea?
Well, November 4th, 2008 was the best night of my life. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the day Barack Obama was elected president of the United States. I was living in Manhattan. There were breakout raves on every block of the Lower East Side, and I stayed up until 6 a.m., and to this day is the best day of my life.
Can I say that I was in Grant Park?
No way. Go for it.
Because I'm from Chicago.
Oh, no shit.
And so at Grant Park, I didn't really get close enough to see. I mean, I saw the team on the TV, you know what I mean? Like the TV that were around.
But still, the energy must have been insane.
Walked from Grant Park all the way back up to my apartment on the north side along the lakefront. Just, it was the most beautiful day and night.
It was. Is it?
It was the one time I think there was like no violence in Chicago. Yeah. People were like, you know what? We're not going to shoot today. So
we're like, Barry's in charge.
Yeah. And I had just graduated from college, got my bachelor's.
I was just about to graduate. I was in my final year of school. And I remember making out with so many random guys on the street. I had a boyfriend, full on, but I remember just like everybody was so excited in the city, you know, that we just were like, everybody was kissing. I would spontaneously break out into the national anthem at the top of my lungs every like 3 or 4 blocks. It was a dream.
I picture you being in your sailor outfit.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of iconic photos were taken that night.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, fourth grade was very exciting for me that year, too, because of Barack Obama.
Wait, you were in fourth grade?
No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't that young.
How old were you guys in 2008?
I was in high school.
I was 21.
Okay, well, good for all of you. That's
how
great.
How old were you?
I was 26 or 20. I don't know. I'm 39 now, so...
Okay.
I'm not great with math, but I was in my like mid to later 20s, I believe.
Yeah.
But I was on a lot of drugs and partying like crazy in Chicago, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
As was I. All my my previous New York years were a blur. Anyway, well, to wrap up the year, a few tech things. Spotify Music Service was launched that year, along with Bitcoin became public.
Rest in peace.
Oh, wow.
That's not, not a thing anymore, right?
It's still a thing.
Oh, big time thing. It's just really? It's happening. It's
a time thing?
Big time thing.
It recently had like resurgence too. Like, I remember in college, I like took a class on like financial analysis or whatever, and the teacher was super into Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, that was like from a few years ago. And then he was like, everyone should invest in Bitcoin now.
Yeah,
and then
100%,
like a year ago, it had a resurgence. And I was like, damn, I wish I'd listened to that college professor who told me to invest because I would have thousands of the dollars.
It's going
to
go up again.
Okay. A, I'm a cash girl. B, I remember someone telling me in Chicago, I was like a bartender at a theater. And he was like, I'm putting the last of my money into Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, he's like, it has to work. And I just kept being like, you're fucked, bro. Like, what is that?
He probably made something last year. Last year, it fucking skyrocketed.
I'll stuff a mattress. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't want my money to be invisible. You know what I mean? I want in my hand, I want to be able to throw it up and, like, lay around in it.
Cold, hard cash. Well, that's smart because also in 2008, we are in the midst of the recession. There is no money in this country. It's like unemployment is like 17% or something insane.
Jesus Christ.
The writer's strike ends that year.
Okay, so TV starts to get good again.
And my last little thing was it was the Summer Olympics in Beijing, China. And the U.S. won 36 gold medals, 38 silver medals, and 36 bronze medals. Killing the game. U.S. was killing it. We were happy then. Those were happy times culturally. Well,
we were almost homeless, but
we had medals. We had Barack Obama. Now what do we got?
Yeah.
We had hope. That's what we had.
We did. Remember?
Remember hope? Yeah, now we're just sad, talk-a-lots.
Now we just all have podcasts to make us feel better.
The only thing that makes us feel better is the sound of our own fucking voices.
I think I do 4. So, because I do other podcasts outside of the ones I produce. I just do 2.
We should actually turn podcasts into currency. Forget about Bitcoin. We can turn. You would be rich in podcasts, Tony.
Okay, let's talk about this movie though, because I think it's a good. There's a lot to talk about because it's crazy. I just think that it's like I love the Coen brothers, and I think that this movie is such a good, like, quintessential Coen brothers movie. It's got all the right elements. It's got surprising violence that you're not expecting. And
you know what I loved about it, coming off the heels of Jesse James? This bitch is an hour and 28 minutes. You're in, out, the story wraps up, and you're like, you get everything you need, and you don't have to struggle at all to get it. Which
it's
I
shorter
really
than the Game of Thrones episode, and cheaper.
Yeah. Right.
I like, well, first it was just like, oh, I know every single actor on this movie. Like,
every single actor. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And like, even the like smaller characters were like bigger characters and other things. And it's like, well-rounded. You know, they know how to cast a movie.
Yeah.
They really do. And
they have a dedicated
they wrote this movie with a lot of the actors that played the parts in mind. Like, they wrote that Brad Pitt's part with him in mind. They wrote John Malkovich's character with him in mind, and Frances McDormand and George Clooney. It was like they wrote this with all of the actors they wanted in mind.
I think everybody but Tilda Swinton.
I think, yeah. Oh, yeah, and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Amazing that J.K. Simmons could, like, act in this movie and write all the Harry Potter books. Like, so it's
okay.
He's so talented.
You're so chuffed. yeah, he's
that's
good.
The guy from Oz, right?
From what?
That was the guy from Oz, right?
Yes, he was the guy from Oz, and he was a fucking psycho.
Yeah, he was a Nazi on Oz.
Yeah.
He looks kind of like a Nazi.
I thought he was kind of hot, though, which I felt conflicted about during that show. But
he always plays these like really, really mean characters. He was in Whiplash, too, just like making people cry left and right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. He was on Law & Order SVU as like a psychiatrist or something.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Tony's an avid SVU fan.
Yeah.
I was like a little bit attracted to him in Whiplash. I'm going to be honest. I wanted him to yell at me.
Yeah, he's very abusive, but in a sexual way. I have to say also about John Malkovich, like, of course they wrote that character for John Malkovich because John Malkovich has one fucking character that he plays, and it is John Malkovich.
Yeah. And he's so good at saying fuck.
Yeah,
because he's got like a weird squishy mouth. And so when he says it, like, it just moves. I don't know. It's odd.
It's weird. But... and his teeth are somehow involved. I don't know how, but his teeth are involved.
His teeth to ear ratio. His ears sort of, you know, wiggle back and forth at when he's yelling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
his
teeth whittled. Sorry.
No, his teeth look whittled. They look carved. They look wood.
They do.
Yeah. It's like they don't look real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like they're going to fall out.
With
his rage. In his rage. He has a really great, like, gradient of, like, chill to angry, you know? It's a really steep slope, but it's a ride that I enjoy being on with him because he can go from 0 to 60 so smoothly. That I love the whole thing. I mean, every acting performance in this movie was great, right? Like, there was nobody that I was like, ugh, get off the screen at any point.
Oh, yeah, never. I mean, I was so happy to see Frances McDormand. She makes
She's
me happy every single time.
She is a dream woman.
The only thing that made me want them to go off the stage is because they fucking annoyed me as characters. Like, they're just like Frances McDormand was Laurie, right?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. I watched this movie three times.
Laurie Litsky.
Like, in preparation for the show, I watched the movie three times.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
Each time, I don't do much, girl. I have a lot of downtime. I do podcasts out of the house. You know what I mean? I just wanted to smack her face. I was like, you so dumb.
Is definitely one of those movies where you're like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
And please stop.
Everyone's
being so
dumb. Every single person in this whole movie is an idiot. It is a fucking parade of idiots from top to bottom. Even the CIA people.
Yeah. I love the guy who it was constantly giving JK's, like, the account.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
He's like, so you don't know anything, and you just want JK to get pissed off, and he never does, which is really satisfying. You want him to be like, what the fuck? Fix this. He's just like, okay, whatever the fuck.
Burn the body.
Yeah. I think he was perfectly burn the body. I think he was perfectly cast because everyone knows what J.K. Simmons looks like when he's mad.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, in that role that he probably does get mad a lot, but, like, you kind of can't get mad at the situation because it just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. Well, that was kind of, that was sort of the note that I wrote too, is that everybody was cast sort of in a way that they're not usually thought about, except for John Malkovich, who plays John Malkovich, basically. And yeah. Tilda Swinton, who always plays like a stuck up cold woman.
She was terrible.
She was terrible. And she was a pediatrician, which they only pointed out at the end. And I fucking loved.
I'm going to send your mom out of the room.
Yeah.
The only like nod to what she does he have blood in his stool? You're like, what the fuck? And then she's a pediatrician, which I fucking love. It was like subtle like that. But anyway, like Brad Pitt's character is cast way out of who he usually plays.
Yeah. But so well. Like he played dumb so well because I don't know. It was just seamless for him. I was just, we just watched before this Jesse James. The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. And, it's super broody. It's like There Will Be Blood, kind of. It's just broody and dark. And Brad Pitt plays Jesse James. And it's so, so different from his role in this that it's crazy. But it's so good. I liked him better in this than I did as a broody, you know, Wild West guy.
I read a lot that said, though, that he really gave the same amount of gusto and effort to this character that he did to any of his other ones. I have a quote from one of the Coens saying, George Clooney likes to get things done before dinner, and he's really easy. And when they cast him, they talked about it, the character, for half an hour before he walked on. And, like, that was that. There was no, like, serious actor talk or, like, direction. Just sort of George Clooney did what he wanted. He said, on the other hand, Brad struggles a little bit more in trying to find the right thing. Ethan Coen says, I think Brad's whole character came together from a botched dye job for a commercial he was about to do. He arrived on set that day, and we all looked at it and said, okay, that's the guy. Which is a true story.
I believe that. Yeah, his hair's wild.
Yeah, that it's. I mean, he. The moment he comes on and he pops that guy's like bone.
He like knocks his leg out of its socket.
Like, there's a pain in my ass. Like it's like this guy is to stretch you up.
He's just like a golden retriever. He's like an idiot golden retriever who's like. Yes. Panting the whole time.
He's the squirrel dog. That's what he is.
He's the squirrel dog. Yeah, from Up. Oh.
Oh. Chelsea, did you? So Chelsea had it spoiled for. Have you said how many times have you seen this movie before this though, Tony?
Never.
Oh, never. Okay.
No. And I'm not Chelsea a big had... movie guy. I like TV.
I like TV too.
TV's good right now, man. Much
Chelsea
better.
Hadn't seen it either, and then someone we were talking to, another guest we had, spoiled it for her.
Spoiled Brad Pitt's. Yeah, and it was so shitty because if I hadn't known that, I never would have thought he was going to get shot in the fucking head. I never would have known that.
I want to say that I'm sorry that that was taken from you.
Yeah.
That was... I honestly was sitting here and I was probably like two joints in and was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I could see myself in another world because I knew the minute he got in there, I was like, oh, he's going to die because someone spoiled this for me. Unfortunately. Yeah. But I know in a parallel universe, had I not known that, I would have squealed at the top of my lungs because you were not fucking expecting it for 1 second. And it's so delicious.
It's delicious.
And it's the second, just for the context of this podcast, it's the second movie in a row we've watched where Brad Pitt gets shot in the head, and it's a great death. It's a good death.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I thought when they did like that push and him smiling that there was going to be dialogue and that it was going to be... But then he did look at the empty gun holster, and I was like, well, that doesn't look good. But but he had just gotten out of the shower, so why would he have got – I had so many questions.
Oh, yeah. Because this brings me to Clooney's character, because Clooney is paranoid this entire fucking movie because he's a philandering motherfucker.
Yeah.
He is a disgusting piece of shit, this character, like, if, in the real world.
He is. He
was right to be paranoid, though. Someone was following him.
Yeah, sure, but he was paranoid for multiple reasons. He was getting followed, but also he was like, oh, I've been cheating on my wife consistently for so long.
Yeah.
He's cheating on his mistress, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the same game. Like
the same fucking game.
His racket don't change. Yeah. He's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix
it. Oh my God. Yeah. And when he had, like, when he brought her home and he put the moving boxes there in the foyer.
What a
But I tell you what, I did love the fuck machine. Loved that fuck machine. Loved her reaction to it.
Tony, don't you have one of those? Is that what you're sitting on right now?
Right now. That was so bizarre. I love how her name's Lori, right?
Yeah, Lori Litsky.
Right, Lori Litsky.
Linda.
I like how she reacted, but I was like, why did George Clooney's character make that? Like, does he want to
that
sit
was
on
my
that,
question
or
too.
Was that his I guess he did say
he's a sex addict.
He called his wife to come home. Mm-hmm. He was like, I finished your gift.
Yeah. She didn't know he was making it. I think that he is a sex addict. And I think, as a filmmaking device, we think he's up to something like real sketchy. But it turns out literally the only thing that's driving his character from top to bottom is sex and paranoia. He has nothing else going on.
No.
Which is kind of nice for an actor like George fucking Clooney to have zero depth outside of sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why it was so crazy when he shot him in the face.
I know.
Because
and
Brad
I love
Pitt's
so much.
Face, when I he know opens the face. Closet, he's like that puppy dog. He wasn't like scared or mad. He was like about to talk and then boom, dead. So
but good. He talked about it at the party. He was like, look, in all my years, I've never had to like use my gun. And I'm like, well, that's good. But then.
That's good.
But
like when you think about it.
Foreshadowing.
In terms of a writing device, if you're going to bring up the fact that he has a gun and that he's never used it twice, you know it's going to come back a third time and he's going to be using it that third time.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing, too, as far as movies goes. Well, all the Coen movies are interesting because they write, direct, and edit all of their movies.
Yeah, and all of their movies at some point address the futility of life and the suddenness of death.
Yeah.
Oh, it's it hit it. I almost had to pause it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I just want to say that I ate an edible before this movie started, and then 49 minutes in, I realized I had eaten too much edible, and I got violently too high, and my notes went from very good notes about the movie to me saying, oh no, 49 minutes in, and I'm too high. My next note was, what even is acting? So I started to lose it a little bit and started to have trouble focusing on what I was doing.
That's really funny. Michael, do you know anything about how this movie was made? Did you get any intel?
A little. I mean, the most interesting fact that anyone can talk about is that the Coen brothers wrote this with all of those actors in mind. Mm-hmm. And that all of the actors said yes immediately because they were just excited to work with the Coen brothers. The Coen brothers were also making No Country for Old Men at the same time. They would alternate days doing Burn After Reading and No Country for Old Men, which stylistically are like a full 180 from each other. They couldn't be more different.
Which makes me love them so much. I love just that they have a genuine fucking world in which they live. And it could be like a world in the West and it can be a world like in DC, but it's like the same fucking Coen brothers world where lots of different stories unfold. You know, the Big Lebowski could happen in the same world as Burn After Reading.
Oh no, I was agreeing with you guys.
I was saying Fargo.
Oh, and Fargo.
Fargo could exist in this world too.
Yeah.
But I just love how this entire movie, and I get what you mean, Tony, about how having like, you sort of feel like it's frustrating to watch because you want this entire movie happens because people misread the signs.
It's a comedy of errors.
Yeah. It's a comedy of errors. Everyone's misreading the signs and then reacting poorly.
It's so wonderful.
Everything happens. I love that they go to the Russians too. And like J.K. Simmons.
Can we just do that? Can we just like go? Can we just call them and say, hey, we're coming in? Because
yeah, you can go to the Russian embassy anytime you want. But it would be a similar experience to what they had where they were like, hi.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I guess like maybe there's a world in which like the whole like J.K. Simmons is what the fuck is the same thing we're feeling. Like that's just a what the fuck movie.
Or the whole like, time. The Russians.
How dumb are they that they thought that a memoir was intel?
Well,
like that was what was so funny. Like my one of my favorite scenes was when they first call Oswald, and they're like, it's late at night. They wake him up, and like, I guess because based on John Malkovich's reaction to their call, then they get empowered, and suddenly they're like. Oh, we know exactly how to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that when she hung up the phone from him, she was like, the nerve of that guy.
I know. She's such a great actress. And I love that her driving factor is plastic surgeries.
Surgery.
She could restart her life.
Yes. I think my favorite part of the whole movie was at the end when he was like, she says she'll keep her mouth shut if we pay for cosmetic surgery. And he's like, what? Why? And he starts explaining it to him, and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Just pay it.
Pay it. You know who's super understated but was amazing was the fucking manager.
I loved him because he loved her.
His name. That actor's great, too. When
he got the fucking hatchet to his head and, it's just like, he don't deserve that. You're right, he is one of the idiots, but he didn't deserve that shot in the chest. And he deserved to be malleted in the head.
Damn.
In the
middle
of the street, too.
There were just parts that like made me like it was just too much. It was just like it was in such a real environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Broad daylight, middle of the street, beating up of an incredibly innocent person is hard to stomach.
Dead.
Only innocent person. The only person who's actually not an idiot besides J.K. Simmons. Everyone else is total moron.
Because he did fucking... That was a stupid move to go and get... Why? First... everyone just was able to get into his basement and like turn on his fucking IBM. You know what I mean?
Yeah. True.
Like,
the audacity.
In Washington, D.C., yeah. He's like a high-powered CIA analyst. With a fucking yacht, too. Give me that yacht. I want that yacht.
Yep. So we only see that his dad once. Was that only on the boat when he was like, I quit.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't disappoint you. That was a weird... My dad never came back once again. I was like, what was the point of this?
I think maybe
that was why it gave him a little bit of a motivation to be such an asshole and like so aggressive about his job.
Yeah.
Because he was only a mid-level analyst. Like, he was obsessed with like trying to be this cool, big britches CIA agent.
Yeah, directly because of his dad. I think they were trying to say like, this guy's got daddy issues and that's why he's an asshole. Like, he'll never be as good as his dad.
I got it.
Wanted him to be. Who's to say? But it's like, why does he get the depth that none of the other characters get? Like, why does he get a backstory?
Maybe because...
I think it was like another thing is like, you know, his wife literally is just like, why would anyone think your memoir is worth anything?
A cunt Bucket Jones, she is.
Yeah, she's truly the worst.
I mean, how could you ever marry her? And also, why would you ever want to have an affair with her? I love her hair, though. I love that red hair on her.
Oh, yeah. She looks so good. But it's like when you think about it, she didn't – like she was having an affair with him, but she had already started to slip into being a bitchy spouse.
Oh, well, it was bound to happen. Like, literally.
She's a bitch.
That's what she does. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And maybe that's what he was turned on by that. But then when shit got serious, he was like, I need my real wife. And that's why he called his real wife crying, being like, I need someone who loves me.
But she was fucking him.
Then she fucking should have been.
She was fucking that news anchor.
And he was hot.
He was hot. I was like, go. And I like that actress, too. I'm like, go for that girl.
Yeah, totally.
I have a theory. Mm. I think that something similar to this, maybe not word for word, but something similar to the plot of this movie is how Trump got involved with the Russians and accidentally became president. I think that he didn't mean to become president, and I think that he stumbled upon a few things, and one thing leads to another. He misinterpreted a couple signs, and oh shit, now he's president.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's taking snapshots, I see.
For our Instagram account. Because both of us had our heads cocked at that theory, and I wanted to capture that moment. We both said,
well,
huh?
You gotta kind of sit with that one. Think about that one. Think about how much misunderstanding happens here.
Oh, my God.
How much...
You did take a big edible, didn't you? You were in there.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, it is so farcical that Trump is our president. It might as well be a Coen Brothers movie. Like, it is such a farce that I see your thinking there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I agree with it, but I understand where you were coming from.
Well, you'll agree with it eventually.
What is acting, you know?
What is acting, really?
What is acting?
It's a hard question to answer.
It's what's making Brad Pitt millions of dollars. How much did he get paid for this, Michael? Do you know?
No, I couldn't find it.
Damn.
Probably a cool $10 million.
That is such fucking bullshit.
More than the ladies.
Big time.
More than the ladies, for sure.
How much?
Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts gets 20.
Damn it.
Should we slip right into those numbers?
Yeah, please.
Talk about the numbers for this movie. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone have a guess for how much the budget was?
$15 million.
I just said Brad Pitt's budget, his own rate was $10 million. So not 15.
$32 million.
Oh, okay. Well, Tony, do you have one?
I'm going to say 35.
Oh, it's 37. So
wow. That's all casting money, though.
Yeah.
Probably
that's
a lot.
Well,
yeah. They probably. The production budget was $2 million. The rest of it was just anything.
Yeah.
Its opening weekend, it made $19.1 million. It didn't really open with anything that big, though. It opened with Tyler Perry, Family That Prays, whatever that is.
What?
Yeah.
I really remember there was like a hard press of there was like so much press for this movie. There were posters everywhere, all over the place, all the time. And it was all that Brad Pitt dancing moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And then domestically, it made $60.3 million. A foreign market, it made $107
million. Wow.
It made $23 million in DVD sales for a grand total of $182 million made on this movie.
Great. Good for them.
They killed the game. This movie did very well.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know what we haven't done in a while? We should play Marry, Fuck, Kill.
I was just going to say that, Michael. Marry, Fuck, Kill. Brad George Malkovich. Go.
Tony, you first.
Marry, Fuck, Kill. I would
it's a toughie.
I guess I would fuck George.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, that's the correct answer.
You want to get on that machine.
Yeah. I do. I want to check that out. I want to feet in the stirrups. I would marry Brad because he would be dumb and easy to manipulate, and I would kill John because he just is so aggressive.
He needs to be put out of his misery.
And he's an alcoholic. I mean, yeah, sure, that guy is a Mormon. Yeah, I get it. But you're also an alcoholic. But he waits till 5 o'clock. So,
well,
okay,
I agree with you. Full stop. I don't have anything.
I think that one's on point. I was gonna say marry, fuck, kill between J.K. Simmons, John Malkovich, and the gym manager.
Oh.
I would fuck Malkovich.
Okay.
I would marry J.K. Simmons, and I would kill the gym manager.
Yeah.
You just saying, oh, that poor guy who's done nothing wrong.
He's a pussy. I'm not attracted to him.
Dead. He's fucking dead.
Are you telling me you would kill the CIA agent instead?
Which one?
Oh,
no.
J.K. Simmons.
Well, I think I would fuck JK for sure.
Oh, and still kill Malkovich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Malkovich is dead, dude. I'd always marry the sensitive one because I could have an affair and they wouldn't really know.
Yeah. Speaking of Tilda, Linda, or the white, or Malkovich.
Okay, I would. I think I would. I would. I think I would kill Linda. No, I would kill the. I would kill the. Tilda. I would kill Tilda. Who am I kidding? Mm. She's the worst.
See, I think I'd fuck Tilda and kill Linda and marry the children's book writer.
Malkovich?
No, wait. Malkovich. Oh, Malkovich. I'd kill Malkovich.
Okay, this is getting so confusing.
I'd fuck Tilda.
And I'd kill Linda Lipsky?
I guess I'd have to marry Linda Lipsky.
Yeah, you marry Linda. You marry Linda, you kill Tilda, and you fuck John.
I don't know. That's obvious. I think I would swap the Tilda John.
Okay, well.
Okay.
That's your mistake.
We tell you.
Okay, so, yeah. So how was, Chelsea, how was this movie received by critics?
Well, I thought you'd never ask. It got a 7 out of 10 from IMDb, which is pretty standard. Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars with, he didn't really have anything to say. He just said, I always thought of Brad as a fine actor, but here he reveals a dimension that I, shall we say, haven't seen him before. Which is like high praise for Ebert. 78% of Rotten Tomatoes. And then EW, Tony, we do the EW review every week because they have wildly varying opinions on movies.
Entertainment Weekly.
So they compared to this movie to No Country for Old Men, and they said, Burn After Reading shares none of No Country's qualities in any category except for silliness of hairdos of the movie stars, happy to look dorky in the service of Joel and Ethan Coen. C.
A C?
A C.
Whoa, that's low.
Yeah. I mean, fuck off.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, here's the thing. You can't deny that this is an entertaining movie. Even if it's like the worst movie ever, it's still a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a well-acted fucking movie. So
everything about it is just like solid. The writing, the directing.
Everything's great.
Everything.
Yeah.
Cinematography, art direction, the richness of the film is so fun to watch.
Okay, Chelsea, what's your overall rating?
Of the movie?
Of the movie.
8. Yeah. Okay. I think it's, I can't think of anything I don't like about it other than like really stupid nitpicky things that don't need to be mentioned, you know?
Okay. Tony?
What's the scale that we're on?
10.
1 to 10?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know why I'm surprised. I think I'm also going to give it, like, that's a solid. It's a high-rated movie. I guess it's not flawless, but it's not bad at all. So I think 8 is a pretty solid.
Yeah.
We don't always agree with each other like this. So this is.
I mean,
fun.
Again, what can you say?
Yeah, it's just a solid movie. Thoroughly. Yeah. We haven't really talked much about Brad Pitt's performance specifically. I mean, we kind of touched on it.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about right now when we rate his performance.
Yeah. So, we're rating his performance. I mean. We did mention that he's good in this role, and I think this is his best acting because
I don't agree.
Well, here's the thing, is like when he acts serious, I just don't take him seriously because he has such a like pretty face, and he's kind of got, I know in real life he has such a goofy demeanor that when he's trying to be serious, it feels fake. Yeah. It feels like acting. Uh-huh. Whereas this, it feels like he's having fun, and I know that character. Like I'm not thinking about like what Brad Pitt should be. I'm thinking about how funny it is that he's doing this. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just think he's well acted. I think this is a great role for him.
Like when he was, like, I got to think back to when he was on the phone with him, and then when he gets off the phone, he's like, I'm really surprised that he doesn't want to give us the reward.
Yeah, he's such a little idiot.
Yeah, and when he got punched in the face in the car.
Oh, yeah. So sweet.
Like,
bless his heart.
Yeah, it's just like this guy is a lovable idiot. Like,
yeah,
you don't know what he's into. You just know that he has a bike and it's not a Schwinn. You know?
Yeah. I do have to say though, just for the sake of conversation, I wonder. Like, this role was written specifically with him in mind, so that's got to be a really comfortable place to be as an actor. And maybe if he didn't have to slot himself into anything because he was made It was made for him, if that makes sense.
Unless there's additional pressure because it was written for him, but if at any time he doesn't understand the role, he's like, well, this was written for me. Why don't I understand it?
Yeah, what if that was a thing? That would be...
I don't know if he would have taken the movie. I do think all... Okay, here's the thing. I only say that I think he was great in this movie, and I think it is a good style of role for him, and that jokey thing is great. I only disagree with you because whenever I talk to people about this podcast,
yeah,
they always say Burn After Reading is the role that Brad Pitt should be in all the time. And this is when he's a true good actor. Because when people always say like, oh, you have a Brad Pitt podcast, you must think he's an amazing actor. And I'm like, I'm on the fence about that. And they go, he is not a good actor unless he's doing stupid roles like Burn After Reading. So this is like this is a moment for us in this podcast because I think he's good in it. I don't think it's
one
only
of his
time.
Defining roles.
I don't think it's the only time he's good. I said it last week, and I've said it 1,000 times. A sad Brad is my favorite Brad. A crying Brad is my favorite Brad.
Oh, you like it when pretty looks ugly, don't you?
That's
yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly
right. I got you.
I think he's good in this, and like I like when he's happy. I like happy Brad, like in Ocean's 11, and this. And Thelma and Louise, you know, he's cheeky. He's having fun. Like, that's the Brad that I like.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't really have an investment in Brad.
No, neither do we.
But
we don't care about Brad Pitt at all. We never talk about him.
But he was, I feel like he was great in this role. And I was upset when he got shot in the face.
Me too.
So when that happened and I had I felt a reaction, I was like, oh, okay. Cause like he did get on my fucking nerves too. Him and fucking Linda.
Linda is a disgusting piece of shit.
Those two stinkers.
In retrospect, Linda, I hate Linda. She's probably my least favorite character.
Yeah.
Linda is the cause for a lot of this madness.
Yeah, but not only that, just like who she is. I'm just like, ugh. Get a fucking life.
Anyway, I'm giving Brad Pitt's performance a 9. Oh, my voice just gave
out.
A
9, okay.
Giving his performance a 9, yeah.
Great.
Oh, we rate his performance too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm going to rate it, I'm going to rate it in comparison to like the other characters and the more memorable ones. And that way I think that I'm going to give him I'll give him a 7 because up until he got shot in the face, like there's other interesting characters in the show. You know what I mean? And I was happy when there were other scenes. It wasn't like I was looking for my Brad relief, you know? Right.
Yeah. Right. And I will say Chelsea and I will probably agree that Brad does better when he is not carrying the movie on his own.
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately not, which is why next week is Benjamin Button. And I'm really worried about that.
Oh yeah. So am I.
I'm going to rate his performance. Here's the thing. I think he was good at it, but I also think he was really putting on a character, and I noticed that he was putting on a character, which kind of bugged me.
Mm.
And that's not fair because I analyze him as an actor for this podcast, but yeah, I don't think he was the best he's ever been. I can't get up to a 10. I'm going to go 7.8.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Almost an 8. All right.
Almost an 8, but not quite.
You didn't quite get there.
Try harder, Brad.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we rate his looks because his looks change so frequently. So we also do a 1 to 10 rating of his looks. Tony, do you want to take the first crack at it?
Like in this movie, like his looks, like on rating, like fuckable or
his hair, like how? Yeah, fuckable. Like just. How aesthetically is it working? Like, is it making him good? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just kind of whatever. If it's something about him that's good, rate him high.
I thought he looked fucking good in his little uniform. I thought that totally, I'd fuck him. I'd give him a 9 on his.
Really?
Yeah,
you
why not
that crazy hair?
Listen, that hair meant, like, look, I have fucked guys with some really shitty hair. But here's the thing. I like a dumb guy. So, I was just like, oh, you're just a cute, dumb white boy. So I'm into that. So
yeah. Okay. Well, fair then enough. In that case, that justifies it. I also we didn't even talk about how the costume designer, this is the number one fun fact on IMDb about this movie. The costume designer said that Brad Pitt looks so good and like fits so naturally into anything that they purposely had to tailor suits to fit him poorly, because the suits that they bought just looked good on him right off the shelf. So they had to like purposely make it ugly.
The cross he carries.
I know. What a
shame. The poor guy.
Michael, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you have fucked this? Chad. I just love that his name was Chad.
That's my least favorite thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, but it makes so much, it's like so perfect.
Yeah.
Like a, honestly, like a 7, and I would say a 6, but his personality and like his lovableness makes up for his stupid haircut and like his
Hard
little
disagree.
Uniform and
you
his
hate
like
his hair. You hate his hair.
Oh, I hate his hair. I don't like the, I mean, you're supposed to hate his hair. I'm actually more shocked that you like his hair.
I mean, it's cool. It's fine with me. It was not a factor.
Yeah. Okay. I might give it a 6.5 because I'm not attracted to him, but I like how he looks. So it's not like low score. It's just, it's not the highest.
I have to say, I am the inverse of you. I mean, the hair is bad, but it's not a deal breaker. For me, idiots in short shorts just are such a turnoff for me. That outfit, his arms looked good. His body's good.
They didn't get him wet or shirtless in this movie, though. So.
And he didn't get me wet. I'm giving him a 4.
Oh, damn.
Well, I loved him. That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I can't wait to see where you rate him for Benjamin Button.
I know. What do we even do about that?
I don't know. There's a lot of different angles.
We have to
there.
Rate him per year. So that sort of wraps up Burn After Reading as a movie.
Yeah. That's fucking it.
Any last thoughts? Any final sayings?
I had one, but it's gone now, and I don't have time to sit here and think about it while we talk about other stuff because it's the end. So it's gone.
Mm. Well, it's been so fun.
Well, it'll come back later. Anyway, thank you, Tony, for coming and being on our podcast.
Oh, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I hope you'll come back sometime. Next week we're doing Benjamin Button, which should be fun. And we might have to take a week off because Chelsea's going to Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Chelsea, any last words? We done?
That's it. I'm about to go experience some sunshine for the first time in 3.5 months, so I'm really excited about that.
Cool. I'm probably going to hop on a Lime scooter and...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Michael has an addiction to fucking wheels all of a sudden.
Yeah,
it's a shocking thing. Anyway, Tony, thank you so much. And
so
have
much.
A wonderful... Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And...